Good, thank you.
I'm good. This is Sabrina, could you pray for us to open, please?
Yes, ma'am. Let us bow. Father and gracious God, we are so thankful to be here another day.
Jesus' house.
Lord, we worship you and we praise you. We adore you. We thank you, Father, that you are our strong tower. We thank you that you are our strength. We thank you, dear God, that whatever we need you to be, you are for us. We just magnify your name and we thank you for the obedience of Jesus Christ, who has allowed us to become co-heirs with him and to be your adopted children. And Father God, as we come today to look again at the mandate and to look into your word, to see how we are to run to help the widows and the orphans. Father God, we thank you for thinking us worthy to give us the opportunities to be your hands, your feet, your eyes, O God, as we help our neighbors, our sisters, our children. Father God, we thank you for Marcia as she facilitates this afternoon. We thank you that you will give her the strength. We thank you that you will give her the skills, the knowledge, and Holy Spirit, that you would speak through her, your willing vessel. Father God, we thank you for each and every person here. As we come, dear God, that we would share, that we would be open to receive, we would be open to give. Father God, we thank you that you will change us in wonderful ways this afternoon. Father, we thank you for those who are coming and those who may be on the road. God, we ask that you keep them safe and that you bring each and every person with open hearts. Help us to be open cups, Lord, ready to be filled by the Holy Spirit as you speak through each and every one of us. And when all is said and done, God, we thank you and we give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise. We pray in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, so welcome back again this evening, ladies. I hope you guys had a good Wednesday and a good today. And so we're going to continue our training on widows and orphans today. So I need one person just to give me a brief recap of what we did on Tuesday. If anybody can remember what we did, and then we'll move into the quote unquote homework. You know, where we were supposed to go back and just really just ask the Lord what's his heart. And I hope you guys wrote down what he would have said to you. So if anybody, just one person can give me a brief recap of what happened on Tuesday, and then we'll go into the homework. So Ivy, I see your mic is already unmuted. So would you like to go for us?
Yes, I never muted it. Recapped on the mandate to secure widows and orphans.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, God's heart. We were looking in the Word and seeing over and over how God chose the vulnerability of widows to demonstrate the principles of His kingdom through even through the lineage of Jesus, and we see where widows took their place in God's unfolding story. Doing it with the redemption through the lives of women such as the widow where fed Elijah, the prophet Elijah, and then there was the widow who recognized Jesus as the Messiah when he was presented in the temple. And we also see that I have little points and see here, but I have to do them like how I got them. And then, and then we also saw that when you were in, you were telling us to look at what is God's heart towards them and for us, And we see that God is inviting all of us to join him in caring for widows and orphans. Mm-hmm. And he invites us to partner with him, to care for them, to love them, to defend them. And it is God's, it's an intentional invitation of the Lord for us to get up and, like you say, let's get involved and let's give back to God and to his children. So that's where I would recap there.
Thank you, Ivy. Thank you very much. So that's exactly what we're doing. We're just looking at God's heart towards widows and orphans. And we see several times in the Word where God would have highlighted them and where his stance concerning them was, you know, somewhat protective. You know, we must care for these ones, the ones that can't care for themselves. And so, you know, the Lord, several times, I remember Ramona's verse in Exodus, where the Lord said, you know, basically, if you kind of treat them unjustly, that he will arise in his wrath. So that's how seriously he takes widows and orphans. So, you know, that's kind of, he's just showing us, you know, what he thinks about widows and orphans. So we can just move straight into the homework. I don't know if anybody, I'm not going to call names. I can leave it open to anybody to start. You know, what did the Lord say to you personally about caring for widows and orphans? Because the last thing we ended with is the fact that, you know, they could be easily forgotten. They could be easily, you know, fall into that category of out of sight, out of mind, if you are not in close contact with them. So I believe the Lord wants us to really make a deliberate effort, you know, when we have widows amongst us, you know, to care for them. When we have orphans amongst us, to care for them and to show them love and to, you know, bring them into the fold. So I open the floor for anybody who would like to share regarding what the Lord was saying to them regarding widows and orphans. And then after that, I'll read something that I found in response to Kenya's question, what about widowers? You know, what is God's heart for them? Then we'll get back to two more riddles that we find in the Bible. And then that will be the closing of our training regarding this chapter on widows and orphans. So anyone is free to go regarding what the Lord would have said to them concerning widows and orphans. Anybody willing, or should I call a name?
I'm willing.
Okay, go ahead, Sabrina.
I wanted to share from previous experiences two examples. Mm-hmm. In my line of work, orphans really came to my attention during the great revelations during the time of HIV and AIDS. I went to a school I went to do my regular observations, and this was a primary school. And before I was allowed into the classroom, the principal pulled me aside and said, I need you to talk to the students about grief counseling, because a lot of them have lost their parents through HIV and AIDS, and they're grieving. Now, I have had no formal training as a counselor, but I've been counseling all my life. And so the sensitization and the great awareness came, and I could feel the pain of the children. So for me, the children, that was one experience. A similar experience was at a conference when the person who was in charge of the HIV/AIDS center at that time was really giving the teachers a tongue lashing. because she felt that a lot of teachers were not as sensitive as they could have been in terms of seeing the needs of the orphans and meeting the needs. And again, well, I was like Jeremiah in terms of the uncontrollable weeping. And again, my heart was touched. I've taken it upon myself during this time of the pandemic to reach out to the widows who are not necessarily in New Providence, although there are some in New Providence, but my heart is for the ones who are on the Family of Islands. And so I make it my business to contact them via phone. And this last week when I contacted one of my persons, I knew that I didn't hear from her for a while and I was wondering why she wasn't calling me. And so when I asked, she said, she reminded me that her phone was blocked. So she couldn't call me and her cell phone was not working. And so I was immediately told and felt that, you know, well, I need to call you a little bit more often, even more often than I was calling you before. And then finally, the Lord really, really allowed me to have an actual experience yesterday morning when I went to the food store to meet somebody else to give a contribution for a mother who had to have a leg amputated. And while I was waiting for the person to come with my donation, she didn't show up. But another young lady came to my car begging. She said, if I could please assist her so that she could have food for her and her children. So I said, give me a moment. And I went into my wallet and I got the money that I had put aside for the donation. And I just felt led to give her the total amount. So I did. And then I asked her her name, where she lived and how many children. And when she told me she had 6 children, I was like, oh my God. You know, I was just so happy that I just released it, being obedient to what Spirit said to me. And so it's our young women who may not have that helpmate and who are alone during this time and have no means of work. And, you know, my heart was touched just looking at her because she really looked as if she hadn't had a meal in a little bit. And so I was just eager and I just released it. And when I was headed back home, then the person called me when I was almost home. So she came today and thank God he allowed me to still have it to make the donation to her. And so it's really feeling his heart beat for our neighbors, no matter where they are coming from, because she was definitely not in my immediate neighborhood, but she was still my sister. And so just opening our eyes to see and not turning away from those who have needs, especially if we have it to give. And even if we don't have it to give, we can give them a blessing. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sabrina. Thank you for sharing. Anybody else? Kenny, I saw you had unmuted. Do you want to go?
I will go. Good afternoon again. I had an experience also because, you know, you said that we should pray about it, and I did. Mm-hmm. And what happened this morning, remember me asking you about the orphan, what about the guys? But I had on Monday know of 3 young boys whose mother died on Monday. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'd ask you, they have a father, but he's not in their life, per se, as that. And I went to check on them this morning. As a matter of fact, I was led to go to the food store. I went to the food store at 7 o'clock and I was shopping for them. And when I got to where they lived, I just sat in the car and I prayed. I prayed about for 15 minutes. And they have an aunt who lives right next to them. And I had called her and she came out and she was in tears. First of all, she lost a sister. And secondly, her son had really, the night before, told her some really, really terrible things. And she was drenched in tears. She was weeping. She was sobbing. And so, you know, I sat in my car and I just listened to her. And she just was uncontrollably crying and crying. So I had to sit and listen, and I listened and I listened, maybe for almost an hour, just so she could get it off her chest. And so I had to tell her, I let her to God, of course. I told her about God and how, you know, he knows what she's going through, how he's there for her, and how he's just waiting for her to come to him and say, listen here. Just lay it all on the table, because she's a person who doesn't take care of herself. She takes care of everybody else. And so I'm saying to her, you know, you have to love yourself first. And then she has the three boys, because there are two. There's a twin who's 17 and the other child is 18. So she have that. Yet, and then again, her son, who was her only son, tell her the worst of the worst things because she was correcting him. So she just felt like the world was on her. So, you know, in praying, I got the feeling that God is saying to me with the widows, because I think that widows are even those who don't have a father in the home, who probably was never married, but have children. And that came to me too, as them being as widows, because they don't have, the only father they have is the Heavenly Father. And so I got that God is saying to me, okay, I'm able to help financially. I'm in the position to do that. So he's saying to me, wherever and whenever, and that's a norm for me. But he's saying to me, he needs me to listen and to the minister, just to listen and to minister to women. Like, you know, just after they would have cried out, just to be there and listening is just to reach out to them. And to be in contact with them, to give them hope, to teach them what I know. You understand? What I'm learning through Wailing Women, what I'm learning through church, to let them know that they are not alone. Mm-hmm. So that's what I got from him this morning, because, you know, I just sat there when I got there, and I sat there about 20 minutes or 15 to 20 minutes just praying before I even went there, just, you know, pulling down strongholds, because the neighborhood is not the best. But, you know, and I had to teach you, like, love conquers all, in spite of you. Some things you just have to let go, even though it hurt. But you can talk to God anytime. He's always available. So I'm thinking that for me, it would be just ministering to them, just listening to them, and helping out financially whenever I could, wherever I could. And that is what I got.
Thank you so much for sharing. Anybody else?
Good night, everyone.
Good night. Hey, Brenda.
For me, what I got is, well, from looking over the widows in the Bible, including the one that we had from 1 Kings, I found out that they were all women of faith.
Mm-hmm.
And the one in First King is so ironic that the same person the prophet was running from, God sent him to that person hometown to be sustained.
Mm-hmm.
By a widow in that hometown, because that was where Jezebel was from, the region of where she was from. Mm-hmm. Also, what was ironic to that about that to me, that she was not a Christian. She was not an Israelite. So she was a pagan. Mm-hmm. But yet, she had faith enough to believe the man of God. She realized he was a man of God. More likely, she heard all the stories. So she realized, and with him being there and speaking it, bring her into a better relationship with God. Especially, I feel that when he restored her son back to her. My thing is, for me, I feel that God give me a compassion, a heart for single women as widows, and to reach out and minister to single women and to help single women, whether they are Christian or non-Christian. Mm-hmm. And for me, especially reaching out to the non-Christian, because like Candy says, open a door to minister to them. And I found that was my life. That is my life. Been doing it. Still do it. And get a joy in doing it. It brings a joy. It brings a I would say satisfaction, but I don't think that's the right word to use. But you feel once you do it, you feel all the love of God. You feel like you touched the Father's heart in doing what you did. So my place is single women.
Understand. What I'll say for me, you know, it's not really women, although the garden causes me to encounter women, but children for me. And it doesn't even necessarily that they're being orphaned by the death of parents. They're orphaned by the fact that parents abandon them. And sometimes, like right now, there's a young man, you know, that I really just want him to kind of like stand on his 2 feet because he's old enough to do it. He's 18. But even at 18, I wasn't out of my mother's house. I'm still not out of my mother's house, you know. Even at 18, you know, I still had the support of my parents. And right now, his support system is out. When he was living at home with the mom said she's not feeding him, you know, because, you know, she's not feeding anybody who's old enough to work. Yet, she wasn't one to enforce that he went to school. She wasn't one to enforce that, you know, he paid attention to learning or, you know, getting things in place so that even if she's at 18 saying to him, you know, you're a man now, go and make a living. You know, the her part, she neglected. But she's still holding fast to this other part where you're a man, go and work. She says she's not feeding. Eventually, they put him out. He's been bouncing from house to house to house to house. You know, and for me, that's heartbreaking. Because this is a young man, you know. I have a special place in my heart for boys because I want boys to grow up, to do. I find a lot depends on men in the home. And I know women have taken charge of the home, but men, a man in the house brings a different dynamic for both young men and young women. So there's only so much a mother can do, only so far a mother can take, you know, but a man in the house will bring a different dynamic for both boys and for girls. So boys learn how to be boys from their fathers. Girls learn about men from their fathers, you know, and so how to have a young man, you know, just tossed and thrown around. And he is sad. I don't want to take the place of his mother. You know? But I am sure if, you know, the Lord knows what you can handle. I'm sure if I, you know, own my own home or whatnot, a lot of these children I would just take in. I would just, you know, take them and care for them and give them structure, give them some place that they can call, you know, home. They're not mine, but that's my heart towards them because I encounter too many of them, you know, and sometimes you could be living in the house with the parents. And the parents are not examples. That's the kind of children I encounter. You know, the parents don't give example. So even though you're trying to instill one thing, they're coming to you once a week or you're interacting with them, you know, a couple times a week. You know, at the end of it, they want their parents, and the parents aren't stepping up to that plate. So I understand what Kenya is saying when, you know, women who are single, I understand what Brenda is saying. Women who are single, you know, are so kind of riddled in the fact of the abandonment part of the whole process. Like, you have children with somebody, but it's okay for them to abandon you in that whole process of raising a child, you know, abandon you, you know, where you need the, not only financial support, emotional support, you know, where that other person will help bring stability to the household. So, and I think for this, I know this is written out of Nigeria, you know, and even in the contents of the day of Jesus, where, you know, as Brenda Lee was telling us on Tuesday, that, you know, men were the breadwinners, you know, and when the man died, if the sons weren't old enough to care, you know, the woman was abandoned. So, you know, that it came out of that kind of context. But for the Caribbean, I hear a context coming out, even in what you guys are telling me, in that, you know, there are children who, like with Sabrina, you know, they're orphaned by death of parents. In terms of what Kenya is sharing with us, yes, there's the death of a parent, but yet now there's this woman who is going through turmoil in her life. She lost her sister. Her son is being disrespectful. And where is the man in the home to kind of bring that balance? Then, you know, with Brenda Lee, you know, it all kind of ties in together where she's saying God is pointing her to single women. You know, women who for one reason or another, it may not be a death of a husband, but a woman who has been abandoned, that abandonment. And I think that's the heart of God, you know, for both women and orphans, widows and orphans, where there's that abandonment, you know, that they go through. And it's not just financial abandonment, it's emotional abandonment, mental abandonment. You know, how do, and for the context of the Caribbean, you know, it's not even that the person has died, it's that the person has chosen to just leave. And sometimes that's worse than when, you know, the person has died. You know, where you get those feelings of inadequacy. You know, what do I do? And that's why I find like some Caribbean women, they're hard in their dealings with themselves, with each other, with their children. You know, the dealings are hard. So, you know, it's all kind of wrapped up in there, you know, where God is really just wanting us. And he says, supply succor, you know, really just care for them, you know, give them their assistance, your support. It doesn't have to be money. It could be like Kenya did. You just sit and you listen, you know, as these women pour out their hearts, pour out their, you know, their frustrations, pour out, you know, their grief. And not grief over somebody who has died, but grief over their situations, because a lot of them did not expect to be in the situation that they were in. A lot of them did not expect that, okay, I would have had this child, or I would be in this place where I'm not married, because that's what little girls grow up to dream about, you know, dream about getting married and having our children and living happily ever after, you know? And besides writing the book. So if you weren't there, I dreamed about that. So then to come to a place as a woman, I can't even imagine what it is, you know, you're not married, you're not, but yet, you know, you have this family, the man is not present in the home, you know, this son now is being disrespectful. What do I do? How do I manage all that? Now my sister has died and her 3 children, you know, how do I even begin to manage that? So, you know, there is this sense of abandonment. And whereas in case of a traditional widow, it would be a widow, it would be death of someone, an orphan, it would be death. In the context of the Caribbean, it is not traditional. It is the fact that it's an abandonment. The body is alive and well, and they're just going about their own business, and they have no concern about what has happened to you or what has happened to their children. You know, that's the kind of mentality that we have to deal with. So, you know, kind of how do we supply succor for that? And I remember one time the Lord had, you know, just spoken to me about this one little girl. And, you know, he said to me, she loves you. Love her. And it has, she doesn't need support financially because really she has relatives that have taken her in. You know, and I'm sure they love her. They give her what she needs. She goes to the best schools, you know. But there was something that she missed. She was missing. And I remember the Lord said that to me, like, say, during the week of Wednesday or Thursday. And Sunday was Mother's Day. I'm not a mother naturally. And that little girl made me a card. And she said, I know you're not my mom, but I thank you, you know, and I just want to know you to know that I love you for caring for me. And that, you know, that touched me. That just showed me that what the Lord said was true. She said, this child loves you. Love her. So, you know, how do we supply that sucker? What do we do? You know, and sometimes it's not even in just the giving. It's sometimes just spending the time. You know, just being there for the support, you know, that they could just pick up the phone and call you and say, this is what I'm going through, or even just call to talk. Not normally. I mean, they may not be going through anything, but just to have fellowship, you know, and for us in the Caribbean, we kind of have to redefine, you know, even the term widow, so that it kind of fits. Although there are natural widows, when I say natural, persons whose husbands are widowers, persons whose husbands or wives have died, and you know they're going through. But how do we redefine it for this culture that we're in? In Nigeria, it's customary, you know, they expect that you get married, and most women get married, most men get married. So the traditional sense of widow is experienced there. But for us in the Caribbean, you know, our family structure has been broken, and the traditional sense of a widow is not, you know, realized. There's 20%, the other 80% is what we are talking about, where there's abandonment. So, you know, we have to kind of redefine the role and ask about, you know, how do we step in? What do we do? You know, how do I support a young man whose mother is alive and says she's not feeding him? You know, I'm not giving you anything. Even when they cook food in the house, they don't offer him any. And if he goes to take, they snatch it, they break the plate, all of these kind of things that he's going through. You know, from a woman that says that she's your mother. You know, so how do we even begin to wrap around that and deal with this orphaning, are widowing that have not come by what is the traditional means. So that's what, you know, the Lord was really just talking to me about in terms of what we feel about widows, how he feels about widows and orphans. And I really just believe that it is to give them the support and the love, the care that they have not experienced, you know. The fact that they have to just harden themselves to face the world, You know, they're hard to face the world because the world has not been cleansed. You know, that we introduce them to kindness. We introduce them to love. We introduce them, you know, to this love that Christ offers us. You know, that causes us to melt in his arms. You know, that they will melt down, that they will be, you know, women again. That way they would have, they will feel wanted, useful. Not, you know, somebody who has been thrown aside. Because that's essentially what it is. I've been thrown aside, you know, for somebody else. You know, and I find that, you know, men in this society, even some women in this society, you know, they don't realize what hardship they cause on children and people who they are in relationship with when it's just an abandonment. When it's like, I don't want you anymore. So for us in the Caribbean, when it talks about give succor to widows and orphans, you know, it kind of speaks to that that abandonment, and that's the best word that I could find right now. So that's what the Lord was speaking to me about. I don't know if anybody wants to share before I just move on to the next part.
Okay. Should I say something?
Go ahead.
During the class on last Tuesday, and coming back into the class today concerning the widows and the orphans, because of the class, it like brought back confirmation of what God has mandated me to do. You know, I'm more like drawn to widows and like ministers' wives, because you know I'm also in a group that's called ministers' wives, ministers' widows, where we also elderly folks, you know, elderly, those that are shut in, those that are sick, who don't get around like that. Many times I would like question, you know, myself on whether it was what God really, you know, wanted me to do. But like the more I listen in the class to everybody now, I'm speaking about what God is saying to them and children and orphans. I realize that the call for how I do the outreach, because that is something I do, outreach ministry to those who are shut in. We go and take food, take funds, and we pray with them. If you have the cleanup, you clean up, you do whatever the elderly folks would need you to do. But many times, you know, you question yourself whether this is really what God really wants, because many times you will find that you are that it's not seem to not been appreciated, you know, and so you're left to kind of little question, well, I wonder if this really what God went. But yet still, in spite of that, you still have this pressing in your heart, you know, to still do it. It's like, even though it seemed to be like rejected, but you regardless, you find yourself keep doing it over and over, so you know that it is something. And so while praying, I just jot down some scriptures that the Lord came to me. And so I was like, okay, this is actually just confirmation, you know, that, okay, even though you may feel that way sometimes, this is what God has you to do. This is God's heart towards his people and what he wants you to do. And so I came up, I gave me James 1:27. And it talks about religion that God or Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. That strikes me, because then I was really okay. I mean, it means that you have to stay focused on what God has called you to do. Now you can't listen to all of the other voices that are speaking or what others are saying. You gotta listen to what God is saying, because that is what is pure and faultless before him. The taking care, looking after the widows and the orphans in their distress. And then another scripture came to me, was Proverbs 24:2, and it helps again to realize that This was no accident that I'm in this class. You understand? Listening, because I missed a few some of them, but because that says, it says, once our eyes are open, we can pretend to don't know what to do. God, who weighs out our hearts and keeps our soul, knows that we know, and he holds us responsible, not just to know, but to act on it. And so that really, you know, helped to really encourage me. And then I wrote here that we are not just simply to pity orphans and widows and elderly, but and not even the children that y'all are talking about. We are to feel bad for them, but we are called to be filled with compassion, because because we can relate to that same position. Why? Because we were also once orphans, you know, too, before we came into relationship with our Heavenly Father. God adopted us into his eternal family. And so now he is calling on us to join in his work, to love, to pray, to advocate, to defend, to sponsor, to support, and to do all of that for him. And so as we discover God's heart through this class, I am being more encouraged. As we discover God's heart for the widows and the orphans, and even for the children and single mothers, as those as Brenly and Sister Sanders and those said, we can't help but recognize the similarity of God's heart for us. You know, for God also is our loving Father, and he is a mighty protector for us. And generally, he invites others to take care of us and to care and defend us, you know, when we are in need. And so all of that came to me as I, you know, as I was seeking and searching, and I realized that being in the class is really you know, it really excites me, because I realized that it's like a confirmation. It's a confirmation. It's like, okay, what you have been questioning and what you have been kind of little in up and down, trying to figure out, is this really what God, why are you having like people that is going against it or saying something against it, and you feel like, okay, is this what he really wants me to do? Am I really doing the right thing, even though I've been doing it for years? Is you know, because you know, you're already in a suppressed state in this pandemic, you know what I mean? And I believe at your weakest point is where the enemy now is going to challenge what God has commanded and mandated us to do. And so now by coming into this class, I realized that, okay, because we are learning about mandates, we I'm encouraged now to realize, okay, you have to stay focused on the mandate that God has really given you. And you cannot, like that first scripture that he gave me, you cannot be polluted by the world and what the world is saying. You have to keep your heart and your focus on what God is mandating you to do. And so that's what I want to share this evening. And I'm encouraged. And thank you, Sister Marsha, for really helping us to discover and to seek God and really hear what he's saying to us in this study.
Thank you, Ivy, for sharing. I appreciate it. You know, I don't want you guys to stop here, but, you know, I want you to continue to kind of just seek God's heart. Because what I'll say about the entire mandate of being a woman is that when we first started, I'm going to say we, because we coming at this stage doesn't mean that God doesn't meet us when he spoke before. But, you know, when we were first started, all we knew is that God said to pray for the church and for the nations. That was it. You know, but as he goes on, he kind of just expands it, you know, for us, and, you know, brings more definition, defines it even more, you know, refines what he wants us to do even more. So even as, you know, this is the beginning of us really just asking what the Lord wants concerning widows and orphans, you know, that we don't stop asking him. Knowing that he would be just begin to show us, because this is something that he's spoken so many times about, you know, we know it's something that it falls on his heart. So, and I just want to encourage you. Now, Kenny asked a really, really good question. and I don't even know if I have the answer still, regarding what about widowers? What about men who lose wives? And, you know, there was someone in the class on Tuesday who kind of reminded me, you know, like, leading mother is kind of different from men. So from the get-go, God says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. When Adam and Eve sinned, the verse said, you know, the desire of the woman would be for her husband. You know, he never said the desire of the man should be for his wife, even though the desire of man should be for his wife. But it's kind of different, you know, because I find, you know, women, we kind of hold on more. You know, we kind of find an attachment more to men than men. Even though a man is attached to you, yes, he loves you. I don't know if it's easy. I don't want to even say it's easier for a man to get over. But, you know, there's a different process that men kind of go through. But that being said, that's just my thoughts. That's not just safety, not everybody. That being said, I hardly found anything in the Bible where the Lord talks about men who lost their wives, you know. There's hardly anything. But there was one account that I kind of found interesting, and it was the account of Ezekiel. If you read the book of Ezekiel, you know, it is that Ezekiel lost his wife. The Lord took her for an example. Imagine that. The Lord took her for an example to the children of Israel. So I'll just read it. It's found in Ezekiel 24. And Kenny, I really don't know if this answers your question. But, you know, this is what I found. And, you know, hopefully the Holy Spirit, as you think on it, you know, would kind of expand it. So it's titled in my Bible, The Prophet's Wife Dies. Also the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, behold, I take away from you the desire for your eyes with one stroke. Yet you shall neither mourn nor weep, nor shall your tears run down. Sigh in silence, make no mourning for the dead. Bind your turban on your head and put your sandals on your feet. Do not cover your lips. Do not eat man's bread of sorrow. So I spoke to the people in the morning, and at the evening my wife died, and the next morning I did as I was commanded. And the people said to me, will you not tell us what these things signify to us? That you behaved so. Then I answered them, the word of the Lord came to me saying, I speak to the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will profane my sanctuary, your arrogant. I will profane my sanctuary, your arrogant boast, the desire of your eyes, the delight of your soul, and your sons and daughters, whom you left behind, shall fall by the sword, and you shall do as I have done. You shall not cover your lips, nor eat man's bread of sorrow. Your turban shall be on your head, and your sandals on your feet. You shall neither mourn nor weep, but you shall pine away in your iniquities and mourn with one another. Thus Ezekiel is a sign to you, according to all that he has done, you shall do. And when this comes, you shall know that I am the Lord your God. And the son, and you, son of man, will it not be in that day that when I take from them their stronghold, their joy, their glory, the desire of their eyes, and that on which they set their minds, their sons and their daughters, on that day one who escapes will come to you and to let you hear it with your ears. On that day your mouth will be open to him who has escaped. You shall speak and no longer be mute. Thus you shall be a sign to them, and they shall know that I am the Lord. So, in finding that, I found something online written by one of the, what they would call the fathers of the world. You know, there are some advisors that the mothers, the international coordinators, they kind of, you know, seek their counsel. And one is Dr. Steve Organ. And a few days ago, actually on August 17th, that is Monday, Dr. Ogun posted something talking about self-pity. And it is speaking about, you know, widowhood and, you know, that pain leading you into a place of self-pity. And it says, widowhood will always lead to pain and loneliness. There are no doubts about this. Yet the loss of a physical husband must not lead to the creation of a permanent spiritual void. One husband may buy, but another one of a different type comes into a widow's life. And as noted earlier, he is no less a husband. Therefore, God wants those widows still laboring under the yoke of pain and loss to be encouraged that there is hope, that all hope is not lost. To fulfill the ministry assigned to widows by the Lord, it is needful not to indulge in the distracting pastime of self-pity. This will hinder effectiveness. And what was interesting, why I'm reading this, because then he goes on to talk about Ezekiel. He doesn't even talk about any of the widows, the widow of Nain, you know, of Zaphath, you know, the prophet's widow. He didn't talk about any of them. He speaks about, he speaks about Ezekiel. So, in speaking about Ezekiel, he goes on to say this. God spoke to Ezekiel in the morning that he would take away the desire of his eyes and use his wife's death as imagery or a sign to transmit a message to his people in the grip of iniquity. Not that Ezekiel was guilty of idolizing his wife or that she was a sinner, but she was being merely used as an object lesson. This was a price Ezekiel had to pay for the prophetic ministry. So in the evening, his wife died. The prophet was warned not to cry or eat the bread of sorrow. He was further instructed to turban his head like one going to a party and to wear his sandals. Son of man, behold, I take away from you the desire of your eyes with one stroke, yet you shall neither mourn nor weep, or nor you shall tears run down. Sigh in silence, make no mourning for the dead. Bind your turban on your head, put your sandals on your feet, do not cover your lips, do not eat man's bread of sorrow. So I spoke to the people in the morning, at the evening my wife died, and the next morning I did as I was commanded. So that's Ezekiel's as we just read. It sounds strange that Ezekiel's wife died, but he did not mourn her death. Neither did he behave like a man who had lost the desire of his eyes. Widowhood for some women could be interpreted as God's means of deliverance from the desires of their eyes, which have been taken the place of God. Some husbands are so loved and feared by their wives that they become contenders with God. Each time God sees such husbands, he sees the object of his daughter's worship. He will not tolerate idolatry. So he chooses to do what he did to Ezekiel's wife. Yet blinded by pain of loss, many women have failed to understand the spiritual circumstances surrounding their widowhood. They are still weeping and wailing for a loss that is meant to bring them into God's perfect will for their lives. For such widows, God is saying there is no need to continue weeping. Remove your mourning garment and come into your closet, and I will show you why your husband died, what you ought to do for me for the growth of the kingdom. Ezekiel's experience was strange. It was so strange that the people said to him, "Will you not tell us what these things signify to us that you behave so?" Then God spoke to him to tell the house of Israel, "And behold, I profane my sanctuary, your arrogant boast, the desire of your eyes, the delight of your soul, your sons and your daughters, whom you have left behind, shall fall by the sword. And you shall do as I have done. You shall not cover your lips, nor eat man's bread of sorrow. Your turban shall be on your heads, your sandals on your feet. You shall neither mourn nor weep. You shall pine away in your iniquities and mourn with one another. Thus Ezekiel is a sign to you, according to all that he has done, you shall also do. And when this comes, you shall know that I am the Lord God." By the way of interpretation, Ezekiel's wife signifies the sanctuary of God and whatever is dear to it. The people loved the sanctuary, and their allegiance to God was shallow and useless, for iniquity abounded among them. There was no godliness, so the stroke of judgment descended upon them. Anything that takes the place of God in our lives will be taken away by divine strokes. It could be a spouse, a business, or a job. When this happens, God says, "Don't mourn or enter into an unnecessary pity party. Understand that I have done for you and what I have done for you and forge ahead in your walk with me. Notice Ezekiel did more work for God and was now completely consecrated and concentrated when the desire of his eyes was taken away with just one stroke. He was able to bring a more compromising message on idolatry, on the idolatry of different peoples, prophets, priests, and princes. He became a sharper instrument in God's hands. Ezekiel's sign may not be applicable to all widows and widowers, but it is certainly in many cases. The pity is that those who lost the desire of their eyes through a divine stroke are still blinded by pain and cannot understand God's dealings with them. So it kind of speaks to widowhood in all. But, you know, God has classed Ezekiel in the same place, or Dr. Organ has as positioned Ezekiel in this whole thing in the same context as a widow. So I believe that the it may be the same just based on this. This is the only thing I found, but you know, I leave it to God to expand more for us, and especially for you, Kenya. But I believe it may be kind of the same context where God, you know, just kind of, you know, he wants the attention of this particular one, maybe, you know. So whether it's a man or a woman, it could be seen as the same, that God, you know, we give super to a man, gives super to a woman. Although when it says in the Bible about widows, the majority of the references are to women. So that's what I found. I hope it would help a bit. And if it doesn't, I'm sure the Lord will begin to explain, you know, if we just ask, you know, because men also feel pain when they lose their wives. And so it may not be a bad, you know, the things that women feel, but there is that's common ground of feeling the loss of a spouse. So that was it. So now we're just going to move on.
Mr. Marsha, please, before you move, is there a link or where can we find that information?
Okay. Oh, it's on Facebook. So if you go to Dr. Steve Organ's page on Facebook, it's posted there. He usually posts, you know, some fairly good, I don't call them devotionals, but, you know, just for reading and for understanding more. He posts some good stuff. So you can just join the page. Follow the page and you will get his stuff.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. So we want to just move on quickly to the last two widows that are in the chapter, that are highlighted in this chapter. So the widow of Nain. And I don't know how many of you remember that story. It's in Luke. Luke. And I'll just read it for you. This is the widow that, you know, Jesus saw in the procession. The who had lost her husband and her son. It's in Luke chapter 7. Right, and we're starting from verse 11. I can just read it quickly. So mine is titled, I'm reading New King James, "The Jesus raises the son of the widow of Nain." So now it happened, the day after that, he went into the city called Nain. And many of his disciples went with him and a large crowd. And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother. So that's one classification. And she was a widow. So, you know, he kind of stressed that, you know, she kind of stressed that, you know, it was not just that she had lost her son, she was also widowed. So that kind of stood out to me when I was reading it yesterday. And so And a large crowd from the city was with her. So, you know, she was surrounded by many people, I guess, who were attending this funeral service. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, so he goes in the midst of this crowd, you know, because of his compassion for this woman. You know, when he saw her, she lost her son, and she lost her. So that means she was childless and husbandless. And he says, and she was a widow. He says, do not weep. Then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. And he said, young man, I say to you, arise. So Jesus was moved to such compassion that he thought it was the best thing to raise this young man from the dead. You know, and he thought it was the best thing that he could, you know, appease this woman's grief by raising this man from the dead. And so he who was dead sat up and began to speak, and he presented him to his mother. Then fear came upon all, and they glorified God, saying, a great prophet has risen up among us, and God has visited his people, and this report about him went through all Judea and all the surrounding regions. So, you know, Jesus took the time to stop, you know, in the midst of a funeral service to raise the young man from the dead, that she would not have these two things. She was childless and a widow, you know, just hanging over her. And it says here, the widow of Nain represents the company of widows who refuse to suffer double tragedy and loss. Her tears caught the attention of Jesus, and as a result, her only son was brought back to life. So, you know, she caught his attention with her tears, you know, the tears mourning her son, but also mourning her husband. And she was brought back to, the son was brought back to life. So, you know, the heart of widows kind of captures the heart of God. You know, he captures his, you know, it kind of draws his compassion. You know, when they cry out, you know, it draws him close. And that's what we read in Exodus 22, where, you know, it said, you know, when they cry to me, when they come and they call for me, you know, my wrath will be stirred because you have, you know, dealt harshly with them. So, you know, it captures his heart. And that's why they kind of have a special place with him. And that's what we were saying, you know, on Tuesday. When, you know, these persons, they lose their spouse, in the context of women, God becomes their husband. In the context of men, God becomes their husband. You know, because, you know, the Lord is moved with compassion. I know we see many women, and why you say in the context of men, God becomes their husband, because in the context of men, they're part of the body of Christ, and the body of Christ is the bride of Christ. So, you know, we kind of see that God's heart is also moved for this kind of loss. It then says Anna the prophetess. So we're going to look at Anna. And Anna is found also in Luke, but in Luke chapter 2. And it says, this dear lady represents the company of widows among wailing women who are called to pray fervent prayers of intercession to bring down the will of God for the world. This consecrated intercessor waited in the temple until Jesus the Messiah was born and was brought for dedication in the temple. She was a prophetess, God's mouthpiece. At 84, she was not too old to be used of the Lord to bring forth his divine counsel. And Anna, as you know, was somebody who was working in the temple. Her life was dedicated to the work of God in the temple. And it says, there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. So Anna was a widow a long time. And now she was 84. That's what they were saying. She lived, her husband died 7 years into the marriage. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that look for redemption in Jerusalem. So Anna, you know, was one that, I mean, she was only with her husband 7 years. But after that, she dedicated her life to the Lord. You know, she was a prophetess in the temple of God. And it says, Anna the prophetess was an example of fidelity. She was faithful. Remember, this dear lady lost her husband barely 7 years after her marriage, and she lives to be 84 years. So she had more years without a husband than she did having a husband. Let's imagine that she married as a young virgin at the age of 18 or 20, because it says 84. And the score is 20. Let's imagine she married as a young virgin at the age of 18 or 20. She lived with her husband for 7 years. That would make her either 25 or 27. If she married at 18, 25. If she married at 20, 27. If we subtract these years from 84, we have either 57 or 59 years in which she remained a widow. She was undefiled. She kept her vessel pure. She served faithfully in the temple of the living God. She was consecrated and very committed to the things of God, and she was God's mouthpiece to bring back the word of prophecy. After a period of about 400 years of prophetic silence in Israel, to all the widows in this world who have a mind to serve the Lord, he wants you to receive encouragement as you meditate on these next two scriptures, and I'll read them shortly. But we see that Anna's life was then dedicated to the working for God. And this is what Dr. O'Brien is saying, that even though you have lost a husband, you have lost a wife, your life is not over. And it may seem like that, you know, coming out of, immediately coming out of the death of that person. And I am speaking as one who does not know. But I could only imagine it would seem like that. That, you know, life is over. What am I to do? You know, Anna could have grieved for 57 or 59 years. But yet, you know, she comes out of that place of self-pity and, you know, woe is me. And she is God's mouthpiece in the temple. So what he's actually saying is, you know, that this is not the end. And God, even though this has happened to some of us, God is willing to use us. He wants to use us. And furthermore, you have an even more special place in the heart of God, because he is ready to defend you, ready to take care of you, ready to, you know, meet your needs, provide, ready to use you, ready to set you back upon your feet. So it's not the end of the world. And so, you know, the Lord is just, you know, just asking us to even encourage those amongst us, you know, who may have lost in one way or another. That is not the end of the world. You know, there is still work to be done, and God's word concerning us is not null and void because this one thing has happened, as big as this one thing may be in our lives. So then the scripture that they go on to quote come from Isaiah 54, verses 4 to 8. It says, "Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame. For thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shall not remember the reproach of thy widowhood any more. For thy maker is thy husband, the Lord of hosts is his name." So the Lord is marrying these women, you know, he is claiming them as his own. Yes, you had your physical husband, you know, yes, you bear that husband's name. You know, women give up a lot, you know, there's no more you know, that maiden name that you carried, you know, for if you get married at 40, you know, that maiden name that you carried, you take your husband's name at the end when you get married. So then it's like you repurpose your whole life, you know, around the marriage. And, you know, you're willing to do it. But this is what God is saying, you know, you will not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore, for your maker is your husband, and the Lord of hosts is his name. So now, remember I told you that whenever they see Mama Anne, she's a widow, she's one of the international coordinators, they say, hello, God's wife. You know, that is her name, God's wife. You know, because now she has taken up the name of her husband, who is the Lord. The Lord of hosts is his name. And when we read about the Lord of hosts, when I read Psalm 24, it says, lift up your head, all ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, that the King of glory may come in. And it says, you know, lift up your head, all ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts, the Lord mighty in battle. He is the King of glory. You know, that's where that rings to me, the Lord of hosts. And that is talking about, you know, the earth. The earth is the Lord's in its fullness and all that dwell therein. You know, he, that's who is your husband, eh? This Lord that owns the earth. And, you know, all its fullness and all that dwell therein. The one who set it upon the waters, nations upon the waters, and established them upon the seas. That is who is your husband. So when you take up that name, you know, we talked about the intimacy. No, this is, God has taken you up as his wife. You know, and that intimacy that you have, what God does in the physical, what we see in the physical is what happens in the spiritual. No? So it's not anything different. The same way those of us who have husbands, we come in, you know, you will do things together, you eat together, you know, you sleep together, you even as you lie on the bed and my husband calls it just together, you talk, you know, you just, you know, come in and you share your thoughts, and you back and forth. It's the same thing that God is doing with these women whom he is calling his wife. But this is who is his wife. The one who owns the cattle on the thousand hills, the one to whom the earth belongs and all its fullness. So when these women cry out to God, and that's why there's a place for them, you know, when they cry out to God, yes, you know, who will hear them? When they say that, you know, when they say, you know, Papa, and when they call him Daddy in Nigeria, they call husbands Daddy in the household. You know, so everything is Daddy. Go to Daddy, and even when the wife comes, she doesn't even say Ken or whoever. She will say Daddy. You know, when they say Daddy, and he answers as the Lord of hosts. You know, these women have a special place in God's heart, and so you know. The Lord has taken away their reproach. Even though it says that he has taken away their shame. He has taken away, you know, that thing that will want to come and drown them in the midst of sorrows. It says, the Lord of hosts is his name, and that the Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. The God of the whole earth shall he be called. So this is who is my husband. The God of the whole earth. So when I go to my husband, and we all know, you know, those of us who are married, when you go to say, honey, X, Y, Z, that man springs into action. He looks to get those things done. He looks to, if it's more the lawn, you know, if he's a good husband, he looks to be that person for his wife. So when these women, whom the earth calls widows, goes in and says, Daddy, honey, you know, X, Y, Z, the Lord springs into action for them. You know, he says, whom shall he be called? He calls himself the Lord of hosts, the Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth. And then, you know, that's whom he shall be called. For the Lord has called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit. And a wife of youth, when thou was refused, says the Lord. And, you know, it's this particular line. You know, when that tells me that the heart of God, especially for this region, is what we spoke about, where these women are not widowed in the sense that we know widowhood. They're widowed by abandonment. They're widowed by rejection. They're widowed by refusal. You know, he says, for the Lord has called thee a forsaken, a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit. Women who are grieved in spirit, you know, and a wife of youth, then thou was refused, says the Lord, when people refused you. He says, for a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my faith from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, says the Lord thy God. And that's Isaiah 54:4-8. You know, this is how the Lord views these ones. And then regarding orphans, he says, a father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation. And that's Psalm 68:5. So for these ones that have been forsaken, for these ones that have been abandoned, the Lord holds them very dear. What that scripture, what really made me to recognize God's heart was that scripture that I think it was Ivy quoted from James 1:27. He says, this is true and pure and undefiled religion before God, that you care for widows and orphans and that you keep yourself unspotted or unblemished by the world. Care for these ones. If you want to talk about religion isn't, oh, let me go to church and let me put on my nice hat and then we say, oh, hallelujah, pastor, in the midst of the sermon, and then come on and say, oh, we had a good sermon. That's not true religion in the eyes of God. True religion in the eyes of God is to take care of the ones that cannot take care of themselves. And he points them out, widows and orphans. I don't know, you know, I don't know, you know, what we have learned about religion. And when we say religion, you know, we kind of get into the schematics. But this is what God calls religion. Taking care of widows, taking care of orphans, you know, keeping yourself unspotted from the world. He says it again somewhere in Isaiah. Let me try to quote it for you. But I believe it's Isaiah. He then says, what is true on the far religion, taking care of widows, taking care of orphans. I believe it's somewhere in Isaiah, in my reference. I believe that's the other place I read it. I didn't write it down. But I believe that's the other place I read what is religion.
That's the one that talks about woe to those who rob poor of my people of their rights, so that widows may be their spoil and that they may plunder the orphans.
Where's that? Isaiah?
Isaiah 10, 1 to 3, 2.
Let me look at it. I don't think that one is it. Let me just get it. Okay. I think it's a... Thank you. I may be wrong. I'm not sure where it comes from. I think I read it in Isaiah. It starts somewhere in the Old Testament as well. And then the Lord repeats it in James. I'm just trying to use Google. Google is not fun. Okay, I'll make a point and send it back with the next person who's doing that seat. I'll look for it and try to send it back with them because I don't remember where I saw it now. But I do believe it's in somewhere in the Old Testament as well. And I believe it's Isaiah. So I'll have to just take a look for it and I'll send it back for you guys. But you know that's the heart of God towards widows and orphans. And so, with that, that's the end of the training on, you know, this chapter on widows and orphans. I don't know if anybody has any comments, any questions, you know, anything else to say before we close. Anybody?
All right, so while you were talking just now. My question is, so is this way that our commission is the, I know we talk about widows and orphans, but to the unsaved, because spiritually they can't take care of themselves either. If you're along the same lines. Okay, so my question is the reason why, I know you said that, well, God said, what is true and pure religion is to take care of those who cannot take care of themselves, right? The widows and the orphans. So that made me think about the part where it says that our commission is to, you know, go engage the whole world. And so that none may be lost, right? Or we save as many as possible. So I was wondering if it's also because spiritually the unsaved can't take care of themselves as well.
Right, so and the unsaved, I believe the unsaved are, I mean, I guess it could be viewed the same way. But the Lord says of the unsaved, you know, when he was talking to the scribes and Pharisees, you know, when they were kind of ridiculing him for, you know, hanging with certain people, you know, why are you among these people? And he says, you know, I have come for the sick, you know, those who are well have no need of a doctor. You know, they have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, they have need of a physician, you know, and that's who he came to, you know, and so with the unsaved, it's kind of, is it different? I guess it's different in the sense that it's sickness of the fact that they don't know. You know, they kind of like, I remember when we were young in the faith, like, or we had just come to God, there were so many things that we did not know. And when you come to God, your eyes are opened a little. But, you know, when you were out there in the world, you were doing what you were doing, it's like, you didn't even know. for widows. I don't even know. I don't know how to answer that question, honestly. For widows, it would be, you know, I guess it is the hurt, the I don't even want to say hurt. I don't know how to answer that question. I don't want to attempt to say the wrong thing. So I don't know if it's a cure because they don't know how to take care of themselves. And for widows, it's not that they may not know how to take care of themselves. It's just that, you know, the situation has kind of just rendered them, you know, rendered them powerless. You know, they feel powerless in a situation. And if you compare it to unsaved, it could be that those persons feel powerless as well. But I don't know how to answer the question, honestly. I will have to think about it and come back. Thanks, Ivy. It may be, and I did see that one, but maybe it's the version that I'm reading that is not, because I can't remember if I read it to King James or because I read some version, other versions sometimes just to get understanding. So it may be this one. It may be Isaiah 1:16-17, you know, where it says, wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, put away the evil from of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, rebuke the oppressor, defend the fatherless, and plead for the widow. It may be that, but it may be the version I'm reading. But I'm going to look for it and get the exact version, which kind of follows that wording in James. So if nobody has any questions, I would ask Teresa. Teresa, are you there?
Yeah, I'm there.
Okay. So, Teresa, can you close us in prayer and dust us off, please, if nobody has any questions? And before you do that, I just want to say thank you, ladies, for engaging with this chapter. I pray that the Lord would you know, continue to just speak to all of our hearts concerning widows and orphans, and, you know, that which he desires us to do, you know, in their lives and in their hearts. Mm-hmm. And the case question, let me just, you know, attempt again, because, you know, not everybody, somebody said it at the beginning, they don't have to be saved. You know, God is just calling us to people, you know, to show compassion to people. So I guess they can fall in the same boat. He's just calling us to show compassion to people, you know, and especially in their times of distress, in their times of need. So it may all just fall along the same lines, you know, as the unsaved. Because somebody said in the beginning, you know, there may not necessarily be someone that is saved. But, you know, by just showing that compassion, showing that love, showing that attention, showing that care, you know, we may win that one person. And even if they are saved, we win them even more because, you know, Christ, they know where that compassion is coming from. And they feel the love of God, you know, for them even more than they did before. So I think it's still kind of all up in one. But and before you pray, Teresa, let me pray for all of us, and then you can pray and close us. So Lord, you know, we just give you thanks and we give you praise. Heavenly Father, you are so good. You are worthy. You are mighty, O God. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, I thank you for helping us with this chapter. Holy Spirit, I thank you for expanding, for giving revelation. I thank you for giving practical example, you know, to the ones who, you know, who shared. And the ones who didn't share, you know, I know you have given them something concerning your heart regarding widows and orphans. Father, I thank you, oh God, for even just launching us into this new realm, oh God, this new, you know, dimension of giving unto you, of caring, you know, for the for what concerns you. Again, oh God, Father, regarding widows and orphans, I pray that you will burden our hearts with what burdens your heart for widows and orphans. Father, that you, oh God, will just do with us that which you desire, you know, and use us, oh God, to bring succor, and even as this chapter says, to bring assistance, to bring, oh God, what is needed. Father, to bring love, to bring compassion, oh God, to bring the care, oh God, that is needed, you know, to widows and orphans. And Father, you know, even for how you adapted, you know, this to our region, Father, where, you know, if we look for traditional widows and orphans, we may find them, but Father, they may not necessarily be the majority of the people that need it, this love, this care, this assistance right now, Father. You know how you, oh God, have opened our eyes to show us that widows and orphans may not necessarily be in the traditional sense. Holy Spirit, you are the greatest teacher, and I pray that you will teach us, you know, all things, you know, all that you have in mind. You will show us all that you have in mind concerning widows and orphans. Father, I present everyone on this call, those who are here on Tuesday, those who are here today. Father, and even, oh God, as they've heard this word, I declare it will not go forth and return empty. Father, I declare that it shall accomplish that which you desire for it to accomplish. Father, you know, there were a handful today, there were a handful on Tuesday, but, oh God, Father, it just takes one, oh God, to show care and compassion, you know, to change the life of someone. And so, Lord, I pray each and every one of us will change at least one life, you know, with that which you have poured into us, you know, and that which you will pour out to others, those who are in need. So, Lord, I thank you. I give you praise. I give you honor. I commit these ladies into your hands. And I thank you, oh God, you know, for how committed they are just to training, you know, and learning more about what you've called us to do within Waiting Women Worldwide. And Father, even if this was not Waiting Women, Father, not what you've called us to do as those who are called by your name, those who represent you, those who are ambassadors, you know, of Christ. Father, you've called us to do all of these things. Father, and so, Lord, may we walk, you know, according to the purpose and the call that you have upon in our lives, you know, to fulfill your mandate, to fulfill, you know, the cry of the earth, the groaning of the earth for the manifestation of the sons of God. You know, the groaning of the earth that we who are called by the name of God, we who know him, Father, would just answer the cry, oh God, of nations, answer the cry of men and of women, you know, that even as they long, oh God, for a knowing of who you are. They long for the love. Father, they may not even know that they're longing for your love, but, oh God, they long for that love. They long, oh God, for that care. They long, oh God, to be in your presence, whether they know it or not. Father, may we answer that cry that comes, oh God, out of the hearts of men and women, out of the nations, out of the land, oh Father. Father, may the land no more, may the earth no more groan, Father, because we are manifesting, oh God, in your glory and in the power and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, you know, to answer those calls, to answer that cry, oh Father, you know, to satisfy the cry of the earth, Father, you know, for the things of heaven, for the things of God. And so, Lord, you know, I pray that by your Spirit, you will continue to transform us. By your Holy Spirit, you will continue, oh God, just to lead and to guide us into every truth. By your Holy Spirit, that you will continue, oh God, just to pour out your heart and pour out your love and pour out your mercy, you know, in and through us, by us, oh God, to all those in need. Father, we give you praise, we give you thanks, and we give you glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you, my God. We thank you for tonight, mighty God. We thank you for my dear sister, Lord God Almighty. I pray, Father, that you'll cover her with your precious blood, mighty God. I thank you, mighty God, for this session, for these widows, Father, to learn more about widows, oh Father. Mighty God, we thank you, mighty God, as we are about to go. I thank you, my God. I pray, Father, that you will direct us, oh God, to learn more and to be more with widows, oh God, to have more love for them, Father. My God, I give you thanks and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. We dust off ourselves and all of ours from the smoke and dust of war. We cut off every training and monitoring demon. We erase our fingerprint, footprint, and voices from being used against us. We declare that there shall be no backlash, no murmuring, no reprisal of this battle. We declare finally that the kingdom of the world have become the kingdom of our Lord, of his Christ. He shall reign forever and ever. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life. Amen.
Amen.
And ever. Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much, ladies.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night. Everyone.
Good night, everyone. Good night.
Good night.